Hey everyone, Pastor Amanda here. I just wanted to thank you for joining us today. I pray the Word of God comes alive in your heart like never before as you listen. And then if you'd like to support the ministry of the Branch Church so that we can continue to connect those far from God to the life-giving vine of Jesus Christ, you can do so at branch.church/give. Now, let's get to the message.
Y'all ready to go to work? I'm ready to go to work. Last week, I began with a question that I hope is going to annoy you to no end until you answer it. Do you actually believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? It's a good question. And I think if we really dig deep down, most of us won't like our own answer. We like to think that we believe things. But then when it comes time to take a step of faith, yikes. So we defined impossible as something only accomplished through the power of God. And we worked our way through Elijah's epic showdown with the prophets of Baal. One of my favorite stories. He's just making fun of these dudes the whole time they're praying to their, you know, so-called God. Anyway, Elijah wins, God wins, it's awesome. And then we looked inward and tried to process the thought to see if we've traded the miraculous and the impossible for what's achievable through human capacity. And it's a hard thought to wrestle with. We learned that bold moves of God require bold steps of faith. And so the adverse is true as well, that God moves when you move. All right? When we concluded with the thought that it may be your job to step out in faith, but the impossible belongs to God. The impossible belongs to God. So let me begin again today with the same question. Do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? Shay and Cordera. Glad y'all are here. Let's look at a few examples from the life of Moses, all right? Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 1. You ready? Come on. It's on the Sky Bible. If you don't have a real Bible, I'm reading off my little mini Sky Bible. It says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. That's awesome. All right. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. The setting for the miraculous could be on the far side of the desert. It could be something mundane as tending your sheep. And the setting for how God miraculously showed up and moved in the life of Moses should be encouraging to us. Let me put some context on this here, okay? Moses is 80 years old. And we just read he's on the far side of the desert, tending sheep, working for his father-in-law, running from a failed attempt at success. Feel better about yourself already? I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. Tending sheep, a failed attempt at success, ran away from home, and now you're working for your father-in-law tending sheep. This is like the job that he took because he had no other skills to offer. He just couldn't do anything else, so this is what he took. This wasn't on his five-year plan. This wasn't on his dream board. This wasn't what his life coach told him to do. And yet this is where he finds himself encountering the powerful presence of God. In this moment, in this season, Church, if you find yourself in a similar situation, you're in really, really good company, because something impossible happens on an ordinary day on the far side of the desert to a man that's past his prime, that's not where he wants to be in life. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in this situation, but this is a good place to be. These are the moments that we become desperate for God to do something in our lives that we can't do ourselves. The impossible. But there's some things you need to know if you're going to encounter the miraculous and the impossible in your life. You ready? Come on. All my note takers, here you go. Number one, you need to have an authentic encounter with God. Come on. You need to have an authentic encounter with God. You ever had an epiphany? Like one of those light bulb moments, ding, and it comes on and you've got the idea. You know what I'm talking about? But a real epiphany, like a God moment where he just invades your life and you're never the same. Shay told us about one of hers just a little bit ago. Jacob in the Bible wrestled with God all night. And he got up and walked away, no big deal. No. He walked with a limp. God touched the socket of his hip. Saul, a murderous zealot, killing people who follow Jesus. You are on his hit list. I'm on his hit list. This guy, God, showed up in a crazy beam of light, blinded him, knocked him off his donkey, and his life was never the same. He got up and was blind. Scales came off his physical eyes and off his spiritual eyes. An authentic encounter with God leaves you with a mark of the divine about your life. There's something different about a person who has encountered the presence of God. Meaning, you're just not the same afterwards. Maybe yours was a moment in church. I love those moments. Maybe the one you remember the most was like back at church camp. And I love church camp. I love church camp, by the way. If you have church camp age kids, let's go to camp together. Come talk to me afterwards, okay? Great. But maybe yours was like driving down the road or at a friend's house and the presence of God just decides to sit down in the living room with you. Maybe today is the day that the Lord has made for you to encounter his presence. I'm stubborn enough to believe that the moment that two or three get together, there's Jesus right here. Okay, there's a little bit more than three of us here. We got a good chance to dig into the presence of God today. Come on. It's not about how miraculous and how great the story is. You might have a get knocked off your donkey kind of encounter with Jesus like Saul did. But if you're riding donkeys down Jackson Avenue, we've probably got another problem. Let me just tell you where God really gets with me. Sitting at my table with the Bible open and nothing else happening before the kids wake up. That's where the presence of God comes and sits with me. It's rarely overly emotional and the holy goosebumps, you know what I'm talking about? It's rarely that. But there's something powerful about sitting down and engaging in the presence of God and digging into his word. And so then now we're looking for these moments where God can remove the blinders. We have an epiphany. Man, I can see. I was blind, but now I see. Maybe and now we're looking for those moments when you actually realize you need a savior. You know how hard it is to prove to somebody that they have a need when they've never known what a need actually is? That's our first world Christianity problem. We don't understand what a need is. So if I can provide everything for myself, why would I need God to do the impossible in my life? Much less save me. Save me from what? If I'm hungry, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to run through McDonald's. I'll be fine. We have to have a real, authentic encounter with Jesus. We have to have those moments when we realize that we're lost and without hope. And we have to put our faith in Jesus. And by the way, That is the moment where the impossible begins in your life. The moment when you need and you realize your need for a Savior and accept Jesus. That's the moment the impossible begins in your life. Let me make a really quick distinction though, okay? Between experiences, and I use the word encounter. Encounter. What was the first point? You have to have an authentic encounter with Jesus, with the presence of God. An experience. You know, these are things that kind of like happen around you. Yes, there's a little bit of intertwining here, so I'm going to try to draw this line pretty hard. Experiences are things that happen around you. Six Flags, roller coasters, anybody? Skydiving, anybody else? No one else has jumped out of an airplane? Come on. Oh, it's the greatest adrenaline rush. Woo, so fun. Sorry. Okay, an experience, right? What about like that long overdue date night? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are experiences. They leave you with nice memories. Nice memories. You kind of like circle that date on the calendar and put a heart around or whatever. Like, it's just a nice memory. But an encounter is something that leaves a mark. An encounter is something that leaves a mark. It's something that transforms you. For example, marriage. The moment after I do, nothing's the same. If you're married, all my married people said amen. I ain't lying. The moment you say I do, this is an encounter. Nothing is the same. After you encounter the miraculous presence of God, nothing is the same. So if you're afraid to get offended, plug your ears real quick because I want to step on your toes. Okay? Let me just say it like this. I think many Christians, many, many devout followers of God have a Sunday experience, but very few have authentic encounters with the presence of God.
Come on.
If you want the impossible to happen in your life, you have to have an authentic encounter with Jesus. If you're here today and maybe you're skeptical or you're still searching and you just, you know, maybe you're just still kind of feeling out this whole Jesus thing. Let me just tell you, just keep chasing Jesus. Just keep chasing Jesus. He's so good and to always reveal himself to you. He just does it. He actually promises in the book of Luke, he says it like this. So I say unto you, ask and it will be given to you. That's really easy. Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you might find. No, no, no. It says will find. Right? What does your Bible say? It says will? Okay. Knock for everyone. Knock and the door could possibly be open if I'm home. You understand what Jesus is saying here, right? He's saying for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Ask, seek, knock, chase, just pursue Jesus, and he is faithful to reveal himself to you. Now, if you're using him as your magic genie, that ain't it. That's not what God is for. He's not there to be your at your beck and call and just randomly say yes to all of our nonsensical requests. Sure, I'd love to win the lottery. That sounds great. Problem is, I'm probably not mature enough to handle that. No, I'm the only one who wants to win the lottery. That's great. When you're in an impossible season, you'll do whatever you have to do to get to the God of the impossible. I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know if you've been in one, if you are in one, because if you haven't been in those, one's coming. Okay? That's just how life works. But if you've been in those seasons, you understand the desperation that wells up inside of you for a holy, divine being to intervene on your behalf. There are things in life I can't do anything about. It drives me crazy. But then this brings us back to the initial question. Do I believe that God can do the impossible? Let me rephrase that. Do I believe that God wants to do the impossible in my life? I know he can. I know intellectually, I know I've read it 1,000 times. I know he can do the impossible. But does he want to do it for me? Does he want to do it for you? Does he want to restore the relationships? Does he want to fix the finances? Does he want to bring back the lost son? Moses had an encounter with God where God calls Moses to be the deliverer of the people of Israel. Okay, a little further on in Exodus 3, starting verse 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'Well, what's his name?'" Okay, well, they should know his name. But this is the conversation Moses had with God, all right? "What's his name? Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Every time I read that, like even prepping for this, I'm like, "I am who I am." Y'all remember in the movie The Lion King? Right, when the little hyenas are like, "Oh, that guy's coming. What's his name? Mufasa. Whoa, what's his name? Mufasa." And so that's the image I get in my head every time I read, "I am who I am." Because there's holy power in that. I am who I am. Just let it sit. Hang on. I am who I am. This is what you're to say. "I am has sent me to you." So the things you need to know if you're going to encounter the miraculous and the impossible in your life: number one, you have to have an authentic encounter with God. And number two, you must know who you are and who God is.
Come on.
We just read, "I am who I am." Let's deal with the first part first, okay? Who are you? Well, Moses, dude was struggling with his identity.
Yeah.
Having like a legit identity crisis. Not like ones we see today. "Oh, I got fired, so my life is over." Or, "My boyfriend, girlfriend broke up with me, so my life is over." No. An actual identity crisis. He lived the life that he thought he was supposed to live, and it all went belly up. All of it. He struggled with his identity. He abandoned everything he knew, and he was living a life he didn't want. Okay? You know, we all kind of struggle with our identity. You know, "God, who am I that you would use me? You know, I'm not as talented. I'm not as eloquent. I stutter sometimes. I fumble over my words. I'm not an extrovert like Pastor Ryan. I just can't walk up to random people at Walmart and they become my BFFs." Like, well, no, but that's me. And they don't think that I'm their BFF, but this is how I am. This is how God built me. All right, I know. I've got a lot of struggles. "God, I can't do it. You don't know my past." Okay, maybe you know my past, but that means I can't. Look, if you're going to live a life of radical faith, if you're going to believe God for the impossible, you have to understand how God sees you. Okay, the biggest struggle that many people face in their walk with Jesus is they don't know who they are in Jesus. This is why we don't walk around as victorious people. This is why we don't walk around as people that have gone from death to life. This is why we don't walk around knowing that the God of the universe, God of the impossible, is faithfully victorious. So even if I fail, he's not gonna. It's like this is just the Sunday to Sunday experience. I don't want to be that church. Today, if you've put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ, let me tell you who you are. All right? You are a new creation. You may have a very checkered past, and most of us do. But old things have become new. You are a new creation. You have been adopted as a son and a daughter into the family of God. And if you're a son and you're a daughter, that means you're an heir to the throne. Like you are a co-heir with Christ. Can you imagine that? It's hard for us. We don't live in a kingdom. Like it's not, we don't have a king. So it's hard for us to picture this. Everything that your Heavenly Father has is now yours. There's no shame or judgment or condemnation. You are now righteous before God. Not because of you, but because of Jesus and what he did. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your past. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your mistakes. He sees the blood of his son that has covered and washed all of that away. This is how God sees you. You have been given victory over Satan. You are loved without condition. You have victory over every possible attack that's going to come your way, and it will come, but you already have victory. That is who you are. This is why God can still use you. This is why you are more than a conqueror. No matter what comes next, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. This is who you are, and this is why God can still use you. If you want to encounter the presence of God, if you want to encounter the impossible, you have to know who you are. You have to have an authentic encounter with Jesus. You have to know who you are, and you have to know who God is. Let's go back to those crazy hyenas. I am who I am. Y'all know how they do it. I am who I am. Jehovah, Yahweh. Here speaks the Creator God, the one who makes and orders and dispatches all of creation, the beginning and the end. I am who I am. Moses, you got to know something about me. I created everything you see. I'm in control of all that happens. And at the end, no matter what's happened up to this point, I have been in control and my purpose will prevail. I am who I am. When you find yourself on the backside of the desert, living a life you never wanted, you never dreamed of, you're still in a perfect position to be used by God. You're still in perfect position to encounter the presence of the God of the impossible, the God of the universe. God wants us to know what Moses needed to understand that day. That the God of the universe, the God of the impossible is on your side. Therefore, no enemy will prosper against me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on. The situation you find yourself in may seem insurmountable, but the creator of the universe, the God of the impossible, I am who I am, is for you. He is for you. Let's fast forward several years into the story, okay? God sends the plagues on Egypt. God delivers the people and parts the Red Sea. God miraculously provides for the Israelites in the desert with manna from heaven and water from rocks, like things that don't happen. They're impossible. They actually happen. Okay, it's God of the impossible. God gives them the law and the Ten Commandments written by his own finger. That's impossible. The picture we get of Moses in Exodus 33 is very different than the one we get in Exodus chapter 3. He's more mature. He has seen God do the impossible. He has learned the secret of leading himself and leading his people. He has faith that God has always and will always come through. And so we pick up the story in Exodus 33, verse 15. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, we'll be all right. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, I'll do the very thing you asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, he just doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop and say, all right, cool. Thanks, man. He's always wanting more of the presence of God in his life. And so he takes a giant, bold step of faith and says, God, thank you for doing what I just asked, but I got something else for you too. Show me your glory. We read that God does. When he hides Moses in the crevice and then he walks his presence. Oh, I wish I could have been in that cave. To just have the presence of God so thick that just walks past you. The beauty of it is that today can be the day that you encounter the presence of God like you never have before. Today could be your day. And so we must regularly practice the presence of God. You must regularly practice the presence of God if you want to have the impossible in your life. The Moses we read about in Exodus 33 has learned things that we don't see in Exodus 3. Moses has learned this secret, that the only thing that will sustain us, the only thing that will grant us victory, the only thing that will distinguish us from everything else is the presence of God. The presence of God. And so his prayer is, God, if your presence isn't with us, don't send us up from here because we won't make it without you. How often do we, on the other hand, get so comfortable in God just doing all these things for us, we kind of trick ourselves into thinking, maybe I've done something for myself. God, I'll just leave you at church on Sunday. I'll be back in a week. I think I got this. I think I got this lit. I'm going to take care of it. And we just relegate God to the four walls of this building. This is absolutely nonsense. That is impossibly dumb. Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
It's impossibly dumb to relegate God to an hour and a half a week, 2 hours a week. We'll go 2 hours in case somebody preaches long. Not me for sure, but it's impossibly dumb. If you're going to live a life of radical faith, and believe God for the impossible, you must regularly practice the presence of God. The presence of God is the place where he shapes us. He shapes our hearts and transforms our lives. The presence of God is a place where our faith is built. It's the place where God speaks to us directly. It's the place where we build our faith on the foundation of God and not what somebody else has told us. It's the place that we dig in and build on something that won't ever move. The presence of God. But God was really gracious with Moses. He was really gracious with the Israelites. He was really gracious with you and with me. Because he just didn't dump everything onto him all at once. He had this progressive revelation. God wasn't holding things back. He was helping Moses understand who he was moment by moment. Progressive revelation. Didn't reveal his plan for humanity all at once, but he slowly revealed it more and more over time, and it culminated in the person of Jesus. If you think about this, it was God's presence. In the beginning, it was God's presence. Then it was the Garden of Eden. And then there was the burning bush and the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenants and the temples. And then God came to earth in the person of Jesus. To make it even better, he left us his Holy Spirit. He sent us his Holy Spirit. Worship team, can y'all come back up and help me? We have access to the presence of God every day, every minute of the day. The place, I mentioned this earlier, but the place where I encounter the presence of God more often than not is sitting at my little table. It's my home office. It's the breakfast table in the kitchen.
just reading the Word of God, asking God to open my eyes so I can see, to open my ears so I can hear, to take the blinders off so that I can see people in my life that are hurting. Give me, God, give me ideas how I can love people well. Meet people right where they are. We have access to the presence of God every moment of the day. I'll be honest though, if I've slept in consistently, you know, I'm human, I do. God is really good, and I know it's coming every time. I know it's coming. He'll wake me up at like 3 o'clock. And I'm just wide awake as could possibly be. And for those of you that don't know, morning Ryan, like, I love the morning time. So, like, you're going to get the best me before 10 a.m. That's who I am. Like, 5 to 10, like, peak Ryan. All right? So, we're pushing it. It's 11:15 now. Like, we're pushing it, okay? But if I've been absent in the presence of God consistently, you know, He's really good about providing an opportunity to bring me back in. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in the presence of God. I'm not just talking about in a worship experience, okay? Like, gosh, I hate that phrase. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in the presence of God, where you just offer yourself fully on the altar and say, God, I am desperate for you. There are impossible situations that I can do nothing about. This is where we want to be. This is where we want to find ourselves, in these desperate situations, knowing that only the God of the impossible can get us out. We have to practice the presence of God. We have to learn to just be with God. If you're married, if you've been married for a while, you develop this familiarity and this comfortability of just being together. You don't even have to be talking. You don't even have to be sharing a meal. You can just be together. Have you ever been on a road trip with your spouse, and then you find yourself, or your best friend, and you find yourself, you know, a couple of hours into it, and nobody's said anything, and you're just as content as could possibly be? There has to become a familiarity with God. There has to become normalcy being in the presence of God. This has to become normal for us. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Okay? Pray all the time. But can I make a suggestion? The next time you go in to pray without ceasing, what would happen if you prayed without speaking? And you just sat in the presence of God. Maybe you said a little prayer, God, meet me here. And you just sat in the presence of God. Maybe you dwelt on His goodness. Or maybe you just thought about and dwelt on His nearness to you. Can you imagine the Creator of the universe has chosen you to come hang out with today? Whether it's your first time here, or you've been here from the beginning, or you had a friend drag you here, God wants to meet with you today. I can't tell you what that's going to look like for you. You could be like me. By the way, I get really emotional. I'm an emotional guy. I know I'm a guy's guy, but I'm an emotional guy. When the presence of God comes on my life, I just get smacked with the awe of how awesome He is. We can't lose the awe of God. The fear and respect of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As long as He stays in His hour and a half box on Sundays, I'm good, right? We have to allow the God of the impossible to invade our lives and practice just being with him. So maybe next time you open your word of you open your word and you invite the presence of God in, maybe you just pray without ceasing and speaking. Just sit, just be. And then when you can't stand it anymore, the Bible says, be joyful always. Begin expressing gratitude. God, thank you that I woke up today. Thank you that I can see, be it with glasses or not. Thank you that I can move. Thank you that I have health. May not be the best health, but I have health. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for continually bringing people or into my life that love me enough to call me on my junk. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence and the promise of your presence. Pray without ceasing. Be joyful. Be joyful always. Express gratitude for the presence of God itself. Never stop being grateful. Tam, can you hit number 5 for me? Y'all jump to your feet with me real quick. This is how I want to end. Yes, I know it's a bit early, and I don't care. I want us, as a body of Christ, to practice being in the presence of God. For some of you, it might be falling flat on your face. For some of you, it might just be sitting quietly at your seat. For others, it might be raising your hands. For others, it might be coming down to the front and just sitting in the presence of God. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We have to practice being in the presence of God. If we can't do it with people who want nothing more than to be in the presence of God either, we will never do it at our house. We will never do it driving down the road. We will never expect the God of the impossible to invade my workplace. God loves you. He sees you. And he simply wants to be with you. This is what we're going to do. I'm sorry if this feels weird or it feels forced. I don't mean to. But I want to invite you to engage in the presence of God. Maybe it's for the first time. That's okay. We're going to pray a simple prayer. God, you are the God of the impossible. And I need an authentic encounter with you right now. We might pray for each other later. I don't know. But we have to practice being in the presence of God. So that's what we want to do today. Worship team's going to sing. It's a great song. You can worship with them. You can sing your own song. It doesn't matter. But we're just going to engage the presence of God and ask him to invade our lives. So when we walk out of here, and I'm going to ask you next week too, do you believe that God wants to do the impossible in your life? An immediate yes will fly out of your mouth. I'm stubborn enough to believe that when God provides an opportunity to meet with him and we walk into that opportunity, he meets us. He has never failed me once. Oh, I could talk about the presence of God all day, but I'm not gonna. We're just gonna do it. Father, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. You are the Almighty, the Creator, the God of the impossible, the first, the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega, my God. Thank you. You do the impossible like it's nothing. Father, we need an authentic encounter. So we're asking boldly, taking a bold step of faith. Father, send your presence down in the name of Jesus, and we will step in. We need an authentic encounter with your presence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm gonna get me a blessing. Whatever you feel led to do, you do that. I'm gonna pray up here. The altar area is open if you want to come up here. You can go to the back. You can walk out the door. Whatever. We'll be back to close up in a minute. Worship team, let's go. Church, I want to convince you that God wants to do the impossible in your life. I want to convince you of that. This is my persuasive speech this morning. It's what our fifth graders learn about, persuasive speech. I want to persuade you to know that you know that you know that God wants to do the impossible in your life. I know that I can't do that. But you can. You can allow God to convince you. When you practice His presence, He convinces you of your goodness. He persuades you of how rich and deep His mercy is and how faultless His love is for you. I'm of the opinion that God is going to do the impossible in your life, in my life, in the life of this church, and that the impossible is going to become comfortable for us. That's my prayer as we move forward, that the impossible becomes comfortable. When we get to that desperate place of only divine intervention being able to fix something, we're going to be comfortable there. When you're desperate for God, He radically shows up. Practice the presence of God this week, okay? Gosh. Well, y'all know how we like to do it. Into every service, we like to say something that really drives home who we are in response to who He is. So Jesus said, I'm the vine.
We are the branch.
So everywhere you go,
be the branch.